Searching for the perfect gift idea for that hard-to-buy person on your list? The Allbirds Wool Runner is a natural fit. The Wool Runner is super cozy, super comfy, and super giftable. It's made with ZQ-certified merino wool, a naturally cozy material that offers next-level comfort and a lower environmental impact. The cushioned midsole and versatile design offer all-day comfort in a classic style you can wear every day, even in a winter wonderland. And its fully machine-washable construction makes it easy to keep your shoes looking like new. Allbirds shows off the Wool Runner's carbon footprint right on the shoe so you can see the difference for yourself. On top of that, they actually offset that carbon footprint to zero, making the Wool Runner completely carbon neutral, so you can stay cozy and tread lighter on the planet. This holiday season, give tidings for comfort and coziness with the Allbirds Wool Runner. Discover your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
What's good, Internet? Welcome to Waypoint's end of the year celebration. As you know, we have spent the last couple of weeks celebrating some of our favorite games of the year, both those that appear on our personal top 10 list and also those that appear across our personal top 10 lists. We've hit a lot of big ones by now. We've hit Hollow Knight, we've hit Battletech, we've hit Monster Hunter World, we've hit Sea of Thieves. There is one.
Life is Strange?
We've hit Life is Strange, right, episode one. That's right. There's one, though, that I think showed up across more people's lists than are even on this podcast currently. Oh. We have four people here. You've already heard the voice of the Mech Queen herself, Danielle Rando.
Hi, I'm the Mech
Queen. Sorry.
Sorry. Wow. You know, maybe we could. I am the Mech Queen. Welcome. Hi.
You heard the laughter of Natalie Watson.
Hi, I'm here, too.
And the laughter of Ricardo Caturas. Welcome back.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. We are here to talk. Danielle, how you doing?
I'm okay.
All right. Happy holidays,
happy
everyone.
Happy holidays.
We like to keep put the reason in the season. You know what I mean?
That's
what we like to do here.
We are taking it.
We take the breaching to the teaching. You know what
That's,
I'm saying?
Yep. Wow, and yeah. That is why we're here to talk about Into the Breach, Subset Games, incredible mech tactics, kaiju battling, like chess for a new age.
What's kaiju?
Do you know
Excuse
what
me?
We'll get there. That's an important question. And
for the teaching.
For example, to start, we, Kato, you and I were on the Battletech episode already.
Yeah.
Which means that we talked about our history with giant robots.
Right.
We talked about our history with tactics games. Mm-hmm. But Danielle, Natalie, you were not. And so here we have some other questions. Like, kaiju is one of the ones that we didn't talk about because
right.
That was not a thing in Battletech.
No.
But here I'm curious. I mean, there's a lot to set the stage with. Danielle, I know you love this game a lot. So let's start with you.
Yes.
Coming into this, what was your tactics experience? And then also like mechs, giant monsters. That's what kaiju means.
Like, I am a fool.
Did you, like, are you just in a bit? Did you look it up just now?
I did.
Okay.
It's not a bit. I am just a fool.
That's a wow. You know what? Again, the reason for the season.
A fool
sometimes
a bit.
You got to be a fool.
That's beautiful. Yes.
So coming into this, had you played FTL? Did you like tactics games? What was your history?
So I am a person who bought FTL three times and I've never started it. So that is where I'm coming from. I was the baby tactics gamer. I had a wonderful experience 100%ing Mario versus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Right.
I had an amazing time with that last year, and it showed up on my list higher than Mario Odyssey last year.
Mm.
And controversial, only to me, opinion.
As a
platforming queen.
Stan.
Also the,
wow.
the mech
Multiple
queen.
Queens.
Multiple
I've got
queens
a lot
in
of
this
queening
room.
Going on.
Right.
You know? So I went in being like, oh, Austin talked about this cool game, and I know he likes mechs, but this is also tactics, and that sounds fun. Which, of course, I was the baby tactics gamer, but I had also played Banner Saga 1, and
okay,
I forgot
sure.
that was like, oh, yeah, that's definitely a tactics game.
So you had this experience where, like, you liked tactics games, it's just, it had
you
never
really
coalesced. Right.
That way.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Especially Banner Saga is a game that's very story-driven,
yes.
Lots of art. There's lots of ways you could convince yourself the thing you like in Banner Saga is something other than the tactics.
Yeah.
When actually, maybe you also like the tactics.
Yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
Natalie, how about you coming into this, besides the kaiju thing, which you're not going to reiterate?
No. Let's move on from that.
Uh-huh.
My experience with tactics mainly comes from, I think the only tactics game, that's not true. The first tactics game I ever played was Final Fantasy Tactics.
Hell yeah.
Nice. And then I played Advance and Advanced Squared, Advanced 2.
Yeah.
And
fuck those judges up. No, that's not true. The judges fuck you up.
The judges fuck you up real bad. Real fucking bad. But I loved those games because I felt like there was such a flexibility with them. Mm. Like, I felt like, and there's also room for error. Other tactics games that I've tried, like, I've played the two most recent Final Fantasy, Fire Emblem.
There you go.
Awakening and Fates.
Yeah. Did you play multiple Fates games, or did you just pick one of those?
I got almost to the end of the Birthright, yeah. And then the next one I think I, like, just started.
Okay.
But I have all three, and I'm still trying to play them. I really still want to finish them. But Awakening and the Fire Emblem sort of, like, process feels much more like if you make a mistake, there, like, can be really hard to come back from it.
Yeah.
And especially since you can't, like, reset, or, like, it's just, like, you have you're one and done. And so when I first played Into the Breach, knowing that, like, having that experience of being able to, like, make changes and adjust, and, like, having just more flexibility in the same sort of Final Fantasy Tactics style was immediately appealing to me and sort of, like, signed me up.
Yeah, like, it's an important thing to understand about Into the Breach. So I guess, like, if you somehow got to the end of this year without hearing us gush about Into the Breach, it is the latest game from Subset Games, which is the development team that at the time of FTL launching was just two people. Mm-hmm. I don't think they've grown much since then. I've seen the same two people's names on their game on Into the Breach. Maybe there's additional QA support or music. I know Ben Prunty did the music on both of them.
And Chris Avalon, I know, did some writing.
Chris Avalon did some writing. Yeah, totally. But it's a core two-person team, and it is a tactics game in which you play time-traveling, mech-piloting, big monster battling kind of soldiers, and you command them in a turn-based fashion. And one of the things that separates it from some games like Fire Emblem or XCOM is that there is very little unpredictability and nearly none on a turn-by-turn basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when you drop your mechs out and you decide, okay, I got this big punchy mech, I'm going to walk over and put him on this tile and punch this giant ant, you know exactly what's going to happen. You're going to punch the giant ant, it's going to go back a space, and it's going to take some damage, right? By and large, you're able to kill most of the enemies in a turn or two. This is not like Fire Emblem or Final Fantasy Tactics, where, like, you might have, like, a really powerful, and every now and then there's a powerful enemy, but, like, by and large, you're clearing the board. You're, like, trying your best to, almost in a chess-like manner, knock things out and take pieces, so to speak. And there is some unpredictability about where enemies might show up in the next round, like where new enemies might pop up, or you know where they're going to come up at the two rounds ahead. You don't know where they're going to be in two rounds. Mm-hmm. And when you knock an enemy, or when an enemy hits a building, because this is one of the big things about this game, is it takes place in populated areas and around infrastructure, and you'd want to protect the infrastructure, there's a small chance, and then you can kind of increase that chance over the course of your game, there's a small chance that it will successfully resist the attack.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a shield. And that's a low chance, and it's a low enough chance that you can never count on it. And so you never really base anything, you don't never base any strategy around it. You never go, like, okay, well, it'll swing and I don't care if it hits, it'll probably get defended. It probably won't get defended. You never get up to, like, 80% defense chance or anything like that.
Right.
So it's always a nice surprise. And that's, like, the basic gist of it. And the
but
way
your attacks will always
hit. Yeah, there's no percentage chance to hit or miss.
Yeah.
You know it will hit. And the thing that you're talking about is you can plot out an entire turn and say, okay, I can see what all these things do. You can lock in those moves. And then once per battle, you can even rewind and be like, oh, fuck, let me start over. Let me go back to the beginning and change my entire strategy.
Well, back to that turn.
Yeah, not the very beginning, but just to the top of that turn and go from there. But if you haven't locked anything in, like, you can just do the mind game of, like, all right, what if I do this and this and this? And that, to me, was, like, one of the early moments where, like, oh, this game is good.
Yeah.
Being able to, like, physically move your character to the spot. Yeah. Like, that is such an important thing for, like, visualization.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, like, my biggest frustration with the Fire Emblem games is, like, being locked in into a move I made. If I wanted to just see what the possibility was from a space, like, not being able to really explore and just be kind of curious. And so being able to just like physically move around and not being locked into that was so crucial to like feeling like this was an easier barrier and like this was like easier to cross and get into the game for someone who like may not. That's why I recommended it to so many people because there was like it's not super punishing.
Totally. It's weird because like Battletech actually does lock you in this way. When you pick a new unit to move, even if there are other units who have like the same initiative score who could go at the same time, once you pick one and you commit to a move, it's in. And you can't even be like, oh, I'm going to move this one, then I'm going to move this one, then I'm going to shoot with one A and then shoot with B. Like, no, finish out that turn. And it does something in that game, but it's absolutely a higher bar of difficulty of like accessibility and getting into it.
Yeah.
It is meant to be a little bit like, okay, you have to be thoughtful about this. Mm-hmm. So it's successful there, but I love this mode too because it brings in more people. It lets you play in that very capital P, I'm just playing around mode.
Right.
So figuring that out for me was a big deal. Kata, we haven't heard much from you yet because we've been talking about we've already established our tactical and mecha backgrounds, but like for you, when did you come into the Breach? What were your first impressions? This was before you were just a Waypoint mod at the time when this game came out, right?
Yeah, yeah. actually, I remember it as one of the earlier times that we interacted for a small second on Twitter because I think I quote tweeted Jason Schreier's, he like posted a GIF or something of it and I was like, I'm so excited. Yeah. And you were like, Kato, it's so good. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, and it's just, I loved immediately the way that, like, you had all the information in front of you. This was also, like, I was similar to when Battletech came out. Like, these were kind of, a month apart.
Yeah. Like, Breach came first, then Battletech.
Right. I was like, as I had said in the Battletech pod, I was into playing a lot of XCOM, but was kind of always infinitely frustrated by like being surprised in like a negative way when like I did something and like an enemy reacted in a way that I did not know was a thing that would happen. And then like when something goes bad in XCOM, it goes really bad, like, and like it's hard to come back usually. Where like this, like seeing this, first of all, I was like, wow, I love this art style. This is really cool looking. And then like once I was like, you have all of the information up front, and like it almost becomes, it's more of a puzzle of figuring out what the like solution to this turn is. And sometimes there is a perfect solution, sometimes there isn't, and like figuring that out was like the most interesting part right at the beginning for me.
Which I think leads into what we know is the moment that, so for on my side, it was like, Danielle, please play this game, I think you'd like it a lot. And for the first like 15 hours, you were like, yeah, this seems neat. And then one day you came in, and this is literally 985 hours ago or whatever of playtime, when you were like, oh, it clicked. Can you talk a little bit about how it clicked? Because I think it ties into what Kato was just saying about the feeling of like sometimes there's a perfect move and sometimes there isn't.
100%. Yeah, so I actually wrote a piece about this for sure. And at one point, and I couldn't tell you exactly, like, there wasn't like the a lightning state, second right, or anything like that, but it was a moment where I was thinking about triage and being an EMT and thinking about, so when you're an EMT, I'm refreshing my certification right now, so I'm like all in it. I am all in it with like the notebook and everything that you do. You know, you look for certain things. You look for life threats. It's ABCs, airway, breathing, circulation. Mm-hmm. That's like what you do with every single person that you have, right? When it finally clicked for me that, this is like a patient. This is like a patient with multiple things wrong with them, and I need to actually order things. I need to prioritize things. Like, I need to save the buildings before I save my mechs, before I do the optional the optional sort of objectives. Once that clicked, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This game is incredible. I beat the first island. I beat the second island. I beat the third island. I actually beat the game. Then I went in with the next squad, and I was able to make real progress because I was like, it's about prioritization. It's about defense as opposed to offense. Like, think defensively before you think offensively in this game, and you are going to kick all kinds of bug ass. So,
That really reminded me that this prioritization and the list that you came up with was like, you probably should prioritize the buildings, but there's a way to play this game where you don't prioritize buildings. If you go after objectives and you get enough company rep, you can heal back everything you've lost.
Right.
And that sets up a really interesting thing that I found, the one of the most interesting things I found about making that decision is like this idea of like you're sent out by these corporations, right, to do certain objectives, and the other objective is keeping people alive, but only insofar as like you need the buildings for the electricity. And like the only time the people, like the people's lives, like ever like kind of come into effect is at the very, very end of the game where you get your score.
Right.
Your score is based on how many people stayed alive during your run.
Which speaks to the like the thing at odds here, right? Yeah. Which is like the setting that we haven't talked about here is it is post environmental collapse. Mm. This is the terrifying future that we've been all fretting about, in which a handful of hyper-capitalists and nobles, and I think one robot AI.
The frozen place.
Survive the global apocalypse and the flooding and the complete climate collapse. And so each level that you're in is like part of some different kind of catastrophe or in response to it. Like one of my favorite things is the first island that you unlock, the first island the game takes place, is like a perfect little archive island of, oh yeah, the world used to be like, there used to be a place called the Earth, and it was like this. There was green, and there were forests and cities, and bars, right, exactly. And so like, all that stuff is fucking fake, right? Like all that stuff is like, it's in some ways it's like, oh, it's the last human settlement, but also it is like a museum of what used to be in the world. Then there's like the completely like windswept desert. There is the acid filled like industrial zone, and there's the like completely frozen tundra area, or like AI robot, like which also is like industrial area in a sense, right? Because it's a robotics factory that's been frozen over. And this game does so much world building through its art, through its characters, through the pilots that you play as who say little snippets of things. And yes, through the mechanics to where, as Kato was just pointing out, you have a power grid. Your kind of health bar in the game is not your pilot's health bars or your mech's health bars. You get those back turn after turn. Even if your pilots die, you'll put some new AI in there. Don't even worry about it. If the flesh dies, toss a rando in there or toss an AI in there. It will do the job, even if it won't do it as well. What it comes down to is, does the power grid fail? Not... Right. Did everybody die? Did you let, you know, the CEOs down even? It's just, does the power grid fail? And that makes this game that is both, makes it both really hopeful and also really cynical in some ways, right? Which I love.
Yeah. I have the note here that it's the perfect 2018 game because of this. Like the main idea, the main thrust, the main thesis here is that you need to, everything is hell. You need to fight even when it looks bad. And the very best ending is taking off for another timeline and trying to make it work there too.
Right.
And the characters resonate so well with this. And I love that. I actually gave an entire lecture to my game design students just about the flavor text in this game and like how much it conveys in these little blurbs and these little tiny blips of like what's happening here and what these pilots are fighting for. I just think it's so beautiful, and it is one of the reasons that it really stuck with me the entire year.
Totally. Natalie, do you have any standout moments from the game or a particularly favorite encounter or like a moment when you're like, oh, wait, this is good. Like, this isn't just like a fun way I'm killing time.
Yeah. I think probably after beating my first like island and like or not the first island, but like the first three or whatever, and like finishing that first timeline
all the way through,
all the way through,
win, which is like nail biting, probably.
Yeah, it is so stressful because it's just built up. It's like a snowball effect, because if you lose on like the second or third, like that's it. You got to start over. And so finishing that first timeline and then like deciding which pilot I wanted to continue on was like such an interesting moment for me, because I had two pilots that I was like deciding between. One was
Camilla.
We'll get to favorite pilots soon.
I'm guessing.
You're guessing.
I'm trying to look for the name.
What do they do?
What do they do?
Yeah, we'll get there.
One was one was Camilla Vera.
Yeah.
And then one was Abe Isamu.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Abe's great.
He's great, but he sucks.
He sucks. I love him.
He's a little mean.
He has a fantastic ability, which his, like, all the pilots have special skills. His special skill is the mech that he pilots gains additional armor.
Which is a rare thing in this game. This is not like a lot of tactics games. Like, oh yeah, you have 6 armor points or whatever. Like, no, you have armored. That's a big deal.
Yeah. It's incredible. Especially because all of this like resets. Like, you don't get to a lot of this, you don't keep, and across different mech like variations, like they completely differ. So especially having armor on a mech that like does a lot of bumping damage or like or has like a lot of like push like bumping into mechanics is like so crucial. Mm-hmm. And so I had like kind of created a play style for me that was a lot of like pushing the enemies around,
just like charging into people head first.
Yeah, exactly. And like moving and like pushing enemies into pushing enemies into like traps basically that I would like make for them. And so Abe was really crucial for that because I was protecting myself. I didn't have to sacrifice any health points.
Those attacks traditionally are like, all right, you get to do 2 damage and knock someone back, but you take 1 damage or something like that.
Yeah, if there's like a wall. Yes. Right. Yeah, totally, totally. Exactly. And then Camilla's is evasion, which the mech is unaffected by webbing and smoke. So that's also super nice for keeping mobility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But because of the playstyle that I had just like figured out for myself, I picked Abe.
Damn.
And I was like pissed. And so going through the whole like next round, I was like, I'm gonna care about this like a lot. Like, this is not just, nothing feels arbitrary here. Yeah. Like, that was like a real choice that I made. And I like, I fucking hate this guy, but he's doing something for me that I really need.
Life be that way sometimes.
And so that I think when I realized that I was internalizing that sort of thing, like I was internalizing the narrative into my playstyle and stuff like that and into my experience of the game, that's when I was like, oh yeah, this is like sinking in a little bit more deeply than I was anticipating.
Totally. I you know, for my part, this is a game I'd been looking forward to for a long time. You know, I don't know that we wrote a story when the game was announced, even though we were doing more daily news writing at the time. FTL is one of my favorite games, like, or especially the last 10 years or so. I've lost, you know, probably hundreds of hours to FTL between the initial PC release and then the iOS release. I played a ton of, it was the thing I did during grad school, during my PhD work, where like if I was studying for comprehensive exams or like writing my essays and stuff like that, I was like, okay, I'm gonna take a 40-minute break and get one game of FTL in, and that's gonna like help me get my head straight. Like going back to my master's, when that game was only available on OnLive, FTL like in a beta format was available on OnLive.
What's OnLive?
Yeah, good question. Do either of you know what OnLive is? Okay. But neither of you used OnLive ever, right?
No.
Danielle, did you ever use OnLive?
I didn't use it, but I remember OnLive.
OnLive was like, so right now, if you talk to people like Sony or Microsoft, you'll hear them talk a lot about streaming video games. So like the PS Now system is
my enemy.
Your enemy. It is in some ways the descendant of OnLive, which was the first major one of these that tried to like make a play in the market. And it had an exclusive.
Dave Perry?
I might have been Dave Perry.
Oh, God. Sorry.
Chinese Dave Perry. Yeah. But they got FTL. And I was like, oh, this game seems cool. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm gonna sit here and play it. And then like I didn't want to subscribe to OnLive. And the thing you could do if you weren't subscribed to OnLive is you could watch other people's gameplay sessions. It was like Twitch around the time that Twitch was just, it was like, you know, 2010, somewhere in there.
When it was
Justin TV or was about to become Twitch or really. And so I was like, yeah, I'm gonna watch people play FTL. This game seems sick. And so then I did. So I've been, and then Subsequent Games announced, oh, they're gonna make a fucking mech game. Are you kidding me?
Yes!
I'm so excited. And then it came out and I was like, okay, like I like kaiju and I like mech versus kaiju stuff. Obviously, we've talked about Evangelion on Waypoints recently. If you
don't tell me anything.
I won't, but all I'm gonna say is if you like Ava or if you like anime, you wanna hear me talk about that, you wanna hear Danielle talk about that, you wanna hear Rob and Patrick talk about that, and you skip Waypoints most weeks, go listen to, was it episode 10? Was it Waypoints 10?
I believe so.
which was Ava. It was Fighting in the Age of Loneliness, which is an MMA documentary series. And then...
Was it the burger one?
Burger.
And the burger, the Stanich's burger stuff.
That is a wild...
It was a really great episode. Go back and listen to that. So I have some fondness for, like, big robots versus big monsters. Animals. In this game, they're animals. In this game, they're just big insects, basically.
No Ava spoilers, please.
No, I didn't take any Ava spoilers.
I'm just scared.
I got you. But I prefer mech on mech combat. I like that. There's like, we talked a lot about that in BattleTech and why that is.
Right.
So you go listen to that if you're curious. But so I was like, okay, I'm having an all right time with this. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, man, FTL did this better, or did that better. Like, oh, there was these little story beats. Like, maybe I. And then I unlocked the Rusting Hulk. So I unlocked the second team, because you start with a team of a squad
Rift
of mechs,
walkers.
The Riftwalkers, which you have a T-shirt of.
I do.
Which are like the basics, right? It is a combat mech that walks and punches. It is a tank called a cannon mech that like moves and shoots and does some knockback damage. Less damage than the punch, but does do knockback damage from range, which isn't bad. And the artillery mech, which shoots a big long distance shot in
does
an arc.
Lob.
It doesn't lob. Yeah. It lobs it. And I was like, okay, cool. But the Rusting Hulks didn't have a traditional, what I thought of as a mech in it. Or, you know, I know that mech is a really broad term. I've explained this before, but it didn't have a humanoid mech in it. It had, first of all, it's like Prime 1 was a jet. It was like a fucking plane. And the second one was a different type of artillery mech, this rocket thing. And there was one that just kind of went like
pulse mech.
I love the pulse mech.
Yeah.
Now, but I was like, okay, I guess I'll try them. Fuck. Like, I thought I'd get like another cool, I thought I'd get the lightning whip one here. I didn't know. And so I start playing, and quickly I realize that there is this synergy between the jet mech, which can drop a bomb that is an electrified smoke. It's a smoke bomb, but because of the, is it the rocket mech or the pulse mech? One of the other ones has...
Pulse mech has it on it
to start
or something.
The electricity,
yeah.
the electrical passive, the thing that makes smoke electrical.
Or is it, no, damage. Actually, it would make
the
sense
rocket,
for the
it's on
rocket
mech.
It's on
the
rocket
mech, has the storm
mech.
Generator.
Yeah, the storm generator. So it has a thing where the all smoke is electrified, which means instead of just stopping attacks the way you might think a smoke screen would in a game, it does damage to any enemy inside of it. And so I'm suddenly like, okay, wow, cool. Like, so the bomb does a damage, plus it creates smoke, which stops the enemy from attacking. Then wait a second, the rocket mech shoots and does knockback in different directions, which is cool. But it also, when it shoots, the smoke from the rocket going causes smoke on the tile behind it. And then the pulse mech can knock things around. And suddenly the synergy of it all started coming together. And it's like, oh, this is not a Final Fantasy Tactics or a Fire Emblem. This is not a BattleTech, not that BattleTech was out, or an XCOM. It is this other type of tactics game that is much more similar to chess in that it's about understanding positioning and maneuvering and pulling opponents. In some ways, like, you know, we've talked at length about jiu-jitsu and about judo. It plays in that space around kind of momentum. I kept coming back to things like it's momentum-based. It feels like dancing. It feels like choreography. It feels like I'm playing with the designers and creating this really, you know, my review, I talk about it feels like an action scene in an anime or in a movie, because it is all about momentum and about movement and about velocity and the ways in which characters move across the map in these really dramatic ways.
Yeah.
In a way that something like BattleTech does not do, right? Like BattleTech has its, I love BattleTech to death, but it isn't trying to do the thing of like the mech runs down the entire, like the avenue and catches the enemy kaiju with a punch that knocks it away from the building.
Right.
Or the pulse thing shows up just in time and it does its attack that pulses things away and then gives shields to other things. Like that stuff ended up being so unique and created little micro narrative moments in a way that was really surprising for me. And that is what finally I was like, oh, this is so good. And I think that's when I came in and finally was like, Danielle, please, you have to play this. Everybody, please, you have to play. You have to play.
I think
this.
You gifted me this game.
That seems
I'm
likely.
Pretty sure.
I was like, no, for real, please.
You
play
like
it.
Just gave me this game. Like, please, you need to try it.
That's the best gift I've ever given anybody.
Honestly, 1,000 hours later.
You know, I'll take it.
More than 1,000 hours later.
Totally.
I think what you're talking about, that cooperation between characters, is so different from like other tactics games. Feels like each character is just trying to get a hit on someone, and like you're the, like, it's so just like, I don't know how to describe it, but like like it's just about getting as many hits on the enemy as you can. And because Into the Breach, there's only two or three hits is going to take an enemy out. Like, these rounds are, like, pretty fast. Like, each turn is, like, pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And you have to, like, engage with your other mechs. It's not like this is my this.
That's exactly it.
It's yeah. You have to work together.
Contrast with something like XCOM, where, like, a heavy will have
right.
holo targeting, which is like, oh, plus 15% to the enemy. Like, a heavy unit will have a machine gun, and they're bad at aiming. But mm-hmm. what they can do, if you give them the right skill, is they when they take a shot, everybody else gets plus 15% to hit them, which yeah. is like, right. okay, that's nice.
But it's still, like, pretty individualized.
It's completely yeah. individualized. Yeah. Contrasting that with this, where, like, you build entire strategies over around, like, all right, the furthest my artillery unit can move is two spaces. This is where I can get the shot off. I have to use my other units to push people towards that, mm-hmm. push enemies towards it so I can bounce them against each other.
Yeah.
And that is such a different feeling. It does feel like you're working in concert. It almost feels like you brought this up on the Battletech Kato, but like Super Sentai shows,
right.
Power Rangers style, like very, very choreographic, very, yeah. very, again, dance-like and mm-hmm. dynamic in a way that a lot of tactics games aren't.
Absolutely. One of the coolest things I ever felt early on in this game was realizing that there was an enemy that I needed to kill, because otherwise it was like too dangerous to still be on the board. It was one of like the extra big ones, and it had 2 HP, and I had already moved everything else. It was next to one of my other mechs, and I was like, I can knock it into that mech.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way that I'm gonna get this extra damage, and it's gonna hurt my mech, but this is the only way. And, like, you can imagine the, like, yeah. the two pilots talking, like, do it! It's okay! I'll survive! Like, okay, I mean, only if you
they're on the radio!
There are times when you do the other thing, when you go, like, this is gonna kill my guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? Like,
bye, Abe.
Yeah.
Yeah, bye, Abe.
Pour one out.
See you later, buddy. Yeah, there's so much of this that, to me, feels like both feels like jujitsu in some ways, and also feels like a team sport in other ways. Like a genuine, like a team working at absolute peak efficiency, you know, high fiving each other across the board or across the whatever the field
the
is.
Robot.
Making it really, really work. Yeah. Another example of that is high level play with the ice mechs.
Oh, absolutely.
I forget what they're called. But you learn that, okay, one of them freezes something else, but it freezes itself. So you learn that, oh, you need to put that thing in a place before you freeze something, and that will block another attack, and that will defer an attack towards another enemy mech and that yeah. sort of thing. Like, playing with this stuff, I am such a dork for this game because, like I said, I've put 1,009 hours into my Steam save and another 30 yeah. plus oof. Into my Switch save. Yeah. I play this game daily still. I got every achievement in June, and I am still playing this daily because there's so much. There are infinite combinations. Chess is like the good mark, but it's also like jujitsu in that there are infinite, infinite ways in which you can find incredible puzzles. You can find incredible solutions. It is still incredibly satisfying, and it is still difficult. This game always throws more at you than you think you can handle at the time, and it also always gives you perfect information, like you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
It gives you the turn order, it gives you a gauge for everything in a really clean and really nice way, and also that's thematically resonant and all kind of works really nicely together. But it is doing so in a way that is constantly challenging to me, even more than 1,000 hours in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
it is completely astounding to me, and I've always sort of had this thought throughout playing it, throughout my sort of arc with the game, which, again, I was playing it an hour ago.
Right,
like,
yeah.
I was. Like, in between tasks at work, I play this game, or I have it on in the background.
Just, like,
very responsible. But it is sorry, go ahead.
No, it was a super quick thing that I wanted to, like, point out.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of hours, I know, it sounds like a lot, but I play Destiny 2. It is a RPG-based game.
Right.
It is. I looked it up earlier. I've only put 700 hours into that game. That game came out in fucking a year ago.
Yeah, and over a year ago.
It has, like,
you raved
5 months on into the breach, and you still put in more time. Like, that is...
It's my game. That's the thing.
Right.
I've had these in the past, for sure. I did this with Prey, even though not 1,000 hours. I did, like, 80 hours with that game. But this is the first time I've had a my game that is like an infinite game. That is not just a sort of narrative story-based game where I go through it and I play it 7 or 8 times because I love it so much. But this is my game. This is my infinite game that I'll probably be playing for 10 years and just being like, yeah, you know, just did a few runs, challenged myself with this, X, Y, and Z. Like, I have had to come up with, there's another piece I wrote, but having to come up with my own challenges after I finished every single achievement in the game.
Because there are a bunch of, for people who, again, who don't know necessarily, this is one of those games that has really fascinating, interesting achievements, and the systems around it, it's sort of like FTL. FTL does the same thing, where each, in FTL is each ship here, each squad has kind of achievements associated with it. So that, like, for instance, I was just talking about the Rusting Hulks, which are the ones that have a lot of smoke-based stuff.
Yeah.
And the way that you unlock new stuff is by doing the achievements, which gives you medals, which then you can spend on new unlocking new squads and new mechs and stuff. And so, for instance, sorry, it's loading. I clicked the wrong one.
Well, it's 12 tiles at once.
Was that one of them? Yeah. Yeah. So here they are. It is.
I'm glad I know this. You got it. 100%.
100%. Wow. Oh wait, it's not 12 tiles at once. It's close though.
Oh. Okay.
It is. Because there's a way to do it without doing 12 tiles at once, which is part, this is the puzzle element of it, right?
Oh, it's the damage.
It's 12
it's the total damage.
Damage.
I got you.
So one of those is do 12 damage with electric smoke in a single battle. Another one is overpower your power grid twice by earning or buying power when it's full and perfect battle. Take no mech building or damage in a single battle. Repaired damage is still damage. So even if you spend turns repairing your mechs in mm-hmm. battle, that damage still counts against this achievement. What I love about these achievements is, one, they get you to often play in new ways because maybe you're the type of player who's like, I don't care if I get hit. As long as I'm all the way healed up at the end of the match, at the end of the battle, who cares? Like, no. This is a team that's capable because it can put so many people on ice or in smoke, I guess, in this case. Because it can deactivate so many enemies by putting them in the electrified smoke. It is feasible to truly take no mech or building damage. Mm-hmm. In a single battle. And so these achievements are the type that, one, get you to play in new interesting ways, but also teach you the capabilities of the team in the process of pursuing those achievements. And that's, like, my ideal. But you're saying on top of all those achievements, on top of the ones that are kind of squad neutral, you also invented your own, challenge mode.
Yeah, completely. I was just beating the game with every squad on every, 2, 3, 4 island.
Gotcha.
That kind of thing. And also I'm doing a lot of things with the Secret Squad these days.
Secret Squad's wild. I mean, we can talk openly about it, but, like, The secret squad they seem impossible.
It's hard. It's very hard.
Do y'all know what the secret squad is?
I don't know about the secret squad.
I know that they exist, but I never...
Once you get every achievement,
yeah,
you unlock the secret squad.
What's up with them?
They are... Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. They are cyber mechs with no pilots. They're all remotely controlled. So you get no pilot abilities. You get no human abilities. So you get these three abilities and if
you've also buried the lead... What are they?
They're bugs.
They're the bugs.
They look like the bugs.
They're the captured bugs that have been cyberized.
That's fucked up.
Oh, it's fucking...
Yeah, dog.
You get a hornet.
Yes.
You get a hornet. You get a triceratops. And you get a stink bug that throws artillery.
Yeah.
Oh,
and you don't get pilots.
You don't know how
you deal with this stuff.
It's very hard.
They seem really cool, though.
They're amazing. Once you power them up, it's so easy to just die. It's so easy to just eat shit in one battle with them because they're so weak at first. But then you can crazily OP them.
So this is one of those things that we haven't even gotten into yet, which is that as you play through the game, after every island, you have that reputation and you can be like, yo, I'm going to buy. You go shopping. it's time to go buy some shit.
Yeah.
I got some money. I got some rep to spend.
Yeah.
I'm going to go into the company store and pick out a new rocket fist and a new laser blaster.
I'm going to go into the breach and buy.
At the mall.
And buy some stuff. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some of our favorite stuff that you can buy from the store, favorite pilots, favorite mechs. I gotta know. You know I gotta know. BRB.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle, dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle, or upgrade to next-level protection with the Wool Runner Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com code fresh socks.
All right, we are back. Natalie Watson.
WB.
Thank you.
Yeah.
TY. of everything in this game, mech, pilot, item, whatever it is, what is your standout fave?
My standout fave is none of these things.
Okay.
My standout fave is my own mind.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Whoa. My standout fave is
100% galaxy braining.
How much I fucking galaxy brained through this game. And it's just like, it's such a good feeling. But to be serious.
Uh-huh.
The rustling, the Zenith Guard was my favorite.
Oh, they're so good.
Beam shields.
They are, I'm looking at them right now and just thinking about them. They.
Is that the one with the Metal Gear?
That's the one with the Metal Gear that has like the laser blaster. It has the charge mech, which does the thing you were talking about. That's the one you probably had Abe in, which like charges into people. And then it has the defense mech, which can shield stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Which the thing I love about it so much is it is both one of the most aggressive squads because it is like, no, this laser beam is going to go through five tiles or whatever. And like it is going to damage everything. If there's a building in the way, it's going to damage it. It has the charge mech, which is like, yeah, I'm going to charge into shit and take damage every time I hit something, but I'm going to hit it hard. And then it has the most pure defensive mech in the game, which is like, okay, everybody calm. Okay, listen. Hey, it's okay. It's okay. Put the shield on you. You're going to be okay. Okay.
Kiss you on the
forehead. Yeah, exactly. 100%.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, that was my favorite. I just, being able to push and pull and move people around and kind of do whatever I like, just having that sort of mobility.
Oh, right, because the defense, the shield one can also do the pull.
Yeah,
right?
There's like the attraction pulls, which you can pull people closer to you. So that was like the setup a lot, was like pushing and pulling people into. Getting them like in a line almost for that burst, for the ramming, and just like hitting people one after the other, or doing stuff like that was super fun. So that was the first one I unlocked after the Rift Walkers.
Nice.
I was like, they were also a little bit more expensive than
you just saved up.
I was like, I think I'm just gonna go for it. Like, I know I should probably just do the next one.
Fuck it.
Right. But I was like, I don't really know about this. I want to. I want to push people.
And you did.
So I did that.
Nice. Yeah, I did the Steel Judoka second.
Well, again, that makes sense.
What?
Because they're hard.
They do judo.
Yeah.
They do judo. I love judo.
Are they still your faves? Like, do you have a favorite pilot or a favorite mech?
I have a favorite pilot.
Do you have a favorite everything at this point?
I do. I have a lot of favorites. Okay. I'll make it very brief. I either rocked Camilla, who's
the one who can't be held.
And, yeah, right. She also is cool and has a whole storyline with Jessica Kern, a.k.a. Milfy Hot.
Milfy Hot.
Dorothy from Golden Girls.
Okay.
So, you know,
right.
She's got that kind of going on. Or Adrienne. Adrienne.
Oh, the robot. Or is it?
Alien.
It's an alien?
Immune to fire and 2 HP.
That's a secret pilot.
It's a secret pilot.
Oh, right. Which we figured out, which I told.
I didn't even know about
FTO,
two of them.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the other two. I had her really early.
Right. You just
but I did not find the
her.
Other two. Yeah.
She's the rock one, right?
The rock one, yeah.
Yeah, Ariadne.
She's great.
Which we didn't. So there are secret pilots in this game that you get from finding like twinkling lights inside of mountains that you can break open if you decide to break open the mountain by spending turns attacking those mountains.
Yep.
And I think we talked about it on a plane. We were going to PAX
on
West,
a plane.
Playing it on Switch.
And I was like, what? And this is, again, after probably 800 hours of this game. So
like, I wouldn't have known it if I hadn't just straight up looked it up. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I intuited it.
I thought I had to do something with the Secret Squad.
Right.
That was like a whole thing I thought I had to do. But yeah, those were my two favorite pilots. Love Bethany, love Abe.
Mm-hmm.
And Prospero is funny and sassy. But
agreed.
For like, in terms of like who I was really rocking for like 50 plus timelines in a row, that kind of thing. Yeah, 100%.
God, I wish I could just pull up all of the dialogue in this game.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's so incredible.
I really wanted to. I really
and
really
so
do.
Simple. Like, these are just tiny lines of text. It's just flavor text, but it gives you so much. It's just really, really beautifully written. And I remember reading something about Chris Avellone kind of like basically making like a whole Bible, like a whole writing Bible for this game, even though there's a 20th of the text in this than in most games you would actually write like a story Bible for. But going that extra step, doing that extra little bit really, really does pay off in a lot of ways. I also really love the acid power ability.
Totally.
And I also really love the sort of medical supplies ability, which resurrects your pilots if they die, basically.
Oh, right.
So I will play fast and dirty and get everything done bring them back for the end. So I did a lot of that. Nice. But I definitely had many favorites along the way.
Kato, how about you?
So for squads, it was definitely the Steel Judoka that, like, fucking my brain explodes. Like, oh my god, this game is so good, because they're so like it's all about placement and like getting things lined up just right so that you can like the other ones, like there is a lot of movement and like the whole game is this way, right? Like it's all about movement and placement, and like, but like this one was like, it's all about movement and placement. Like there are very few options for other like forms of damage other than like, getting everything in the right place so that the one that does like the most damage can like hit with this, like, you know, like the rockets or whatever. And like that one, that squad is still one of my favorites just because it's so different from everything else in the game. As far as fucking pilots, I think I'm remembering this guy's. I don't like this person, but I like this pilot, Henry Kwan.
That's who I'm looking up right now. I'm trying to find.
He's a little bit of a dick too.
Yeah, right.
He is. But he is very much like the dick with the heart of gold.
He is.
More than Abe, who is genuinely cold.
Right. But. His special ability, Mech Can Move Through Enemy Units.
That was
It doesn't sound like such a thing, but in this game where like being in the right spot to execute what you want to do is so important, being able to just ignore enemies that normally you cannot move through, like you can be cornered in a spot where like you can't go anywhere.
Space is so limited.
And so that is such an important, like, I love that. That ability is so clutch.
That ends up being one of the ways in which you truly can get a situation that is not winnable, is just like, I can't get anybody over to the spot. Yep. Right. Like, most of the time you have a situation where like, okay, I can win this turn or at least hyper minimize damage. But sometimes you've just wound up, there have been so many times where I'm like, I just fucked up two turns ago by putting this close range fighter off in the corner of this map.
Yeah.
I haven't developed their position in a way that's like lets them be an active player anymore.
Yeah.
And so characters like that, characters like Chen Rong, who is the one who can move after attacking by one spot, where it's like, okay, I just get a little bit more movement, I just get a little bit more, is really great. And one of the things I love about the pilot system in general is that there are enough there to where like you can kind of have either stuff that lets you win more or like kind of like, hey, encourages your best play, or stuff that helps be a kind of seatbelt or a safety net for your worst play.
Right.
You know, getting Isaac Jones early, who is the guy who lets you just get an extra reset every battle, is really great. An extra turn reset. And it's just like, okay, wow. Like just having that means I have a little bit more safety for when I fuck up. When I make a move and I'm like, ah, no, I should have done this in this other order. That stuff is great. Whereas like some of the robots, right, like the Silica, who's like, you can shoot twice if you did not move this turn, is rad if you've gotten to the point where you can start setting things up a turn in advance.
Yeah.
Right. So you can really capitalize.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, or start doing stuff with the other team members to line things up for them so that they can capitalize.
Yeah, or you just make your tank.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And you're just like, punch, tanks.
Punch. Yep. Yeah.
Punch. Yep. Can I ask if people have heartbreaking moments that they remember?
Like, yeah,
really
totally.
Good heartbreaker?
I mean, the first time I got to the last island, for sure, right, it was like down to the final moment, the final turn, just couldn't make it happen, stared at the screen for an hour. Like, and really the real heartbreaker isn't that. The heartbreaker is that, like, 90 minutes later you think of the solution.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, fuck. What if I, I forgot that I had this ability. No. You know, that is the heartbreaker for sure. I do think, you know, the thing is that for each one of those, there's the moment of you have the electric. This is the one I wrote about in the review where it was like you have the electric whip mech. You're down to 2 HP and on the power grid. There's too many enemies. You have the rock throwing mech and you go like, wait a second. I can use the rock to create a circuit with the buildings so I can hook the electric whip on this building and let the electric current run through everything. And I have the upgrade that means the buildings won't get damaged from it, which is super important because otherwise you just torch an entire city. And that was actually one of the things that also brought me on board, I'll say, is that like once I realized like, okay, my decisions for upgrades really do matter. Learning to prioritize, do you want to have the thing that does the extra knockback, the thing that does the extra damage, the thing that gives you a shield, the thing that whatever that is, no, those things all change the direction of your strategy and end up helping you to create the thing that I love, which is these little micro narratives. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, totally. I guess that's my big heartbreak. There was definitely a number of times where I'd get to the end, fail, you know, because I just didn't think I had it, and then realized later, maybe I tweeted the image or something, yeah. and someone else told me, or just thinking about the problem in my own head. So I did end up thinking about this stuff like chess problems. Like, okay. I mean, to the point that you all have seen, like on Twitter, people were sent, like Brad Shoemaker would send me a board state and be like, I just don't see her. You've done this at least once or twice, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you sent me a board state.
I'm just like, hey, I'm fucking stuck. Like, I cannot see. I've been staring at this for hours, please. Someone just
thank you to
see
subset.
The thing that I haven't seen.
Thank
right?
you to Subset Games for turning on, letting you have grid.
Grid,
the
grid
notation.
It's
so nice.
Either way,
I definitely had a moment that it was my first 2-island run that like finally got to the end and was on the last, very last like room, like the final mission. Kind of like splits into 2 like mini missions essentially, and I was on the end, like 2 turns away from winning. Just like the island before, I had found Harold Schmidt, who is
Harold, who is sad.
Yes, who's so sad, and like he's like so worried, and his thing is when he heals and like pushes people away.
It's like a nervous fart.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
He's
like
it
so lines up with this like being super nervous and like scared about this whole situation. And the last turn, I was like, I really enjoy this ability, and like wasn't thinking that much about the character as a person. Mostly I was like, oh yeah, this will be great. This is a super useful ability. Oh. So ready to take him onto my next timeline. The only way to make the timeline work, he had to die.
Harold
had to die. And I'm just like, fucking Harold. Christ. Like, anyone else, like, take the other pilots were like robots that I didn't even care about. Like, that base, like, you know, they have like the non-named. And I was just like, one of them, please, for not Harold, anyone but fucking Harold.
Damn.
And just, oh my God, it broke my heart the first time I lost Harold.
R.I.P. to a real one.
Yeah, for real.
You know, and he's just up like, in heaven with like, Decker, don't worry about it.
Oh, God damn
him
it.
And Decker are,
fucking Christ.
Yeah. God.
And just like compounded by his like nervous like self that was just like, oh, I just
Buddy.
So
Harold.
Bad. For
him. Yeah.
Sometimes you just make that, you gotta make that call. Harold wouldn't mind. Harold knows what
he
the
knew.
Score was.
He tried to repair.
Natalie, do you have any true heartbreaks?
I don't know if I have a true, I feel like.
Is it because your galaxy brain is so big?
It's so big. I'm so smart and I always win. No, it's because I fucked up a lot and I lost a lot. But it never felt as heartbreaking as like other fails that I had in like other tactics games because they weren't arbitrary. Like it wasn't due to like a random chance.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
It wasn't the 98% shot that missed and then you lose your favorite sniper right. or
exactly.
whatever. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm just
maybe
wondering.
That happened to you.
Maybe that, I don't know.
Perhaps.
So like everything felt like a lesson to be learned and like there was something I could have done better. The thing that really sucks is when there was, I did everything right or I you know, did the things I was supposed to and then random chance.
Yeah.
And like that can be fun, but that really, fuck it. It's so nice when it goes through, but it fucking sucks when it doesn't. Yeah. And especially in games that don't allow for like playing around in the same way that Into the Breach does, it's so high risk. And it's so shitty to like play an hour long battle and fucking random chance.
I mean, this is the worst with specifically with Fire Emblem does this. Mm-hmm. Where if
I'm,
you're like
I'm
me,
subtweeting fucking Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Well, the thing is like this is the gift and the curse of Fire Emblem is that you care about every one of your characters.
Yeah.
I do that with XCOM, but, you know, Lord knows if you watch your XCOM streams, it's because, like, Rob and I bring that to the game. We go, this is Valrovin, son of Odin. He has a cool shotgun. This is Gravedigger. These are characters that we've brought the character to.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the characters in Fire Emblem are characters you care about, especially in modern Fire Emblem games. Where there are bonds and people you're shipping people and like you don't want to lose people and so you end up with the situation where like an hour into a map you lose somebody and like I'm gonna start over, fuck it.
Yeah.
And the shitty and you even if you know the turn, even if you know the risk in a turn, like you can't save on that, like you have to do the whole battle again.
Totally.
And that feels like a waste of time to me, because that to me is like I can do everything the first 10 turns the same and then just change the 1/11th turn and do the different thing. And that's why I appreciate Into the Breach so much, because at least if I know that 11th, if I know the 11th turn is where I fucked up, I know what I did wrong. It's not just the hit, the shot I took missed.
Other stuff in the lead up, other stuff that happened, other stuff that like you set the table and then the Vec came to feast, right? I'm curious if you have a heartbreak, but also I'm sure you have a bunch. Maybe you can use it to help contextualize another question I have for you, Danielle, which is one of the big things that you was turning you off in this game at the jump was you don't like permadeath.
Hate it.
You still do.
I don't like it.
You, 1,000 hours?
1,000 hours in. I just deal with it at this point.
Right. Well, like in a weird way, this is something that's interesting to me is like Fire Emblem is this, it has permadeath turned on by default. You can turn it off now. Like there's a casual mode or whatever where you can don't worry about it. Though I still restart because I want XP for those characters. Anyway.
Same.
But in that game, you know, it does have that, but the goal is to get through without losing anybody. Into the Breach, you're going to lose people. It's going to happen constantly. And even when you win, you only get to send one person forward.
Yeah.
Two people are going to be here in this timeline forever, off in their own different timelines.
But that's the thing. Right. Is they're timelines. There's
always another Abe.
Yeah.
There's another Abe out there.
You can't. So it doesn't feel like a loss because there is still potential. Like there is always like trying it again. And I think that's so embedded into not only the narrative, obviously, but in the play style, that there's always sort of like a small hopefulness in the next one.
I will address how I have dealt with
thank you
that, and then I will tell you my heartbreak story. First of all, it has helped me to start competing in jiu-jitsu and being I'm going to get my ass handed to me. I'm going to lose so much. I am just going to get tossed around. It's just, you know what? And like, it has actually helped me. Not that like, I usually like to think my games help the rest of my life and not the other way around, but it really did kind of help me like, you know what? I'm going to suck. I'm going to suck for the first 22 tournaments I go into. Whatever. We're just throwing shit at the wall and like going in with focus and purpose and trying to be sharp and everything. But like understanding there just needs to be an emotional detachment there, which has been very hard for me because I'm not a very emotionally detached person. So that is how I've dealt with permadeath. I still hate it.
Yeah.
I still hate permadeath. I'm always going to hate permadeath.
Would you like this game more without that, though, is my question.
It's a good question.
Because, like, or does it add something here? Like, what is the version of this game that doesn't have permadeath in it?
Like, has just a list of pilots that you can start the timeline, that you unlock and then start the timeline with.
I guess.
And
then
you just never lose the XP, basically, right?
Is that what it would be? Yeah. Eventually you unlock them all and they're all leveled up all the way.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's it. And, like, I don't like that game as much. Because I like sitting with Camilla and be like, all right, I've had you for 6 runs in a row. You're leveled up all the way, but I just unlocked a new mech. I'm going to let you go because I want to try this. Or I saved a new pilot who I want to work with for a little while. I like that feeling, and that feeling requires a bit of that loss.
Yeah. I don't think you're
but
wrong.
But it sucks also.
I don't think you're wrong, but I have had to like make peace.
Yes.
I had to deliberately make peace with that, for sure.
Totally.
I will tell you briefly about my biggest heartbreak in this game. There have been so many heartbreaks along the way.
2018.
So, 2018 has been a year of heartbreak. There was one day, it was like in the morning, I was working from home that day, and, you know, I had Into the Breach on, sort of in between tasks, you know, and I got to the final island. And I don't remember what the squad was, so I can't set that part up for you.
Sure.
But I'm in the final island. Okay, I get through the first battle. Okay, I think maybe I lost a couple of gray, but otherwise, things are going really well. They're going really well, and I have a good chance at finishing this, you know, like the final island, you know, the second part of the final island. I'm in that volcano. I am ready to rain death upon the Vec. And I get a really, really, really hard turn. And I'm like, all right, shit, okay. I'm just gonna look at it. I didn't pause the game. I just let it sit there because I was like looking at it. Like, all right, I need a little more coffee. So I left the room.
I'm so worried.
I'm so stressed.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Wait.
There is a beautiful, gorgeous little lady in my life.
I hate this.
No.
7-pound, tiny cat. Her name is Orion. Ori for short.
Oh, it's short. Okay.
Ori for short. And, you know, I'm getting coffee in the other room, and, like, I hear, like, little mewing sounds. She hangs out Ori likes to be on my lap while I play this game. You know, she likes to be around my desk area, let's call it. Uh-huh. Likes to kind of walk around there. Mm-hmm. I'm getting coffee, and I hear the sound for the, like, the like, swelling music of, like, oh, no, it's all gone to shit. Like, like, it's all happening now. Like, and all the mechs, all the Vec come in, and they're like, we've taken over, and you have to, like, you know, time travel out. And I, like, ran in, and I'm like, what the fuck? And there's my beautiful, tiny little cat, teddy bear face, just sitting on the fucking keyboard. Loafing adorably, looking up at me, mewing, you know, adorably. She doesn't know that she just cursed 4.2 billion people to their death. She doesn't know. All she knows is there's a warm thing on her butt, and she's happy. Oh, I got coffee.
Absolutely top 10 anime betrayals.
Yeah, I was going to say. Ori a fucking traitor. Ori's one of the Vec. You better check.
She was
a Vec. You better check Ori to see if she got one of them Vec cyborg pilots.
Yeah, just that's get a fucking magnet and like, pass it over Ori, see if anything sticks.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
That little shit.
Unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
True betrayal.
That's
all
fucked up.
Before we wrap up, I'm very curious from everybody here. What, you know, is one of the questions we've asked with all these games is like, what do you want next from either this developer or from this game specifically? I'm curious, is it more pilots? Is it more mechs? Is it more, is it another island? Is it a different game entirely? What do you all think?
I mean, the last time they made a new game, it was so good. Like, I just want them to go, I want to know what.
You want them to disappear for 5 more years and then come
just
back.
Come back with something okay. completely new.
Do you not want the FTL thing where FTL did have that one big expansion?
I never played that expansion.
It's good.
I played FTL a bit, and like, okay. but that didn't. So I don't. Yeah, actually, I don't know what they do when they expand on a game. Maybe that. I mean, I would welcome it. But like, it was just like what I knew of them was like FTL, and then this, and like they're so different, right. and like they obviously have parallels that they've brought over, and like their style. But like, I'm just gonna be excited no matter what Subset does next. Like I'm gonna fucking love it probably.
Yeah, the FTL expansion was fantastic. It was like it added a bunch of new weapons and effects for your ships. It added a new system for hacking enemy ships to lock down their various compartments and various things.
Shit.
It added a mind control system that you could mind control enemy characters. It added a whole new race of creature that were like weird. They were like robot. It was like the Borg, basically. They were like robot people who didn't need to breathe, so you couldn't just do the thing you always
like,
do.
Right,
where you
right.
just so in FTL, the thing you almost always did when you
space
people
them.
You either space them or you. I mean, you don't actually space them. You
lock
you lock them in, and then you get rid of all the O2. You get rid of the oxygen.
Okay,
you suffocate them. But you couldn't do that with them. And in fact, I think they could lock down rooms on you, which was wild. And there was like also the other big one was just a ton of. New story stuff got added. And so for me, that's the stuff that I would love to see is like more story stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and systems that shake things up as much as the FTL Advance does. Natalie and Danielle.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of hard for me to say since I didn't play FTL, so I don't really know what that jump feels like from FTL to Into the Breach, coming from the same studio. But knowing, just like knowing about FTL and knowing its successes and knowing how much it is loved, I definitely think another game like would be super interesting to see, and one that, you know, engages with new types of mechanics and does something different in a genre that may have become a little bit too stagnant.
Yeah.
Which I think is what Into the Breach is doing so successfully. I do think there's more, there could be like another like big expansion. Like is it another like 5 or 4 island, 4 island pack or something? And it's like a separate.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Thing.
Right.
Even just give me a couple. I don't know. 4 is
two
a lot.
Islands.
4 is a lot. Maybe 2. But that's the thing. It's so replayable that even 2 would add so much.
Totally.
Like, is it 2 and then 5 new pilots and then like 3 new mech squads? Like that.
How hard
is so much?
How hard or easy is it? Would it be harder or easy to do the 6 or 7 island run?
Cool.
To do the because like this is the thing that's weird. Like the 2 island run is kind of the easiest one to do. I know the four is supposed to be the hardest, but normally by the time I've gone through four full islands, I've upgraded my mechs and my pilots enough that, like, whatever, I'm golden.
Yeah.
The three island run is the thing that's tough for me because it's like I can be ahead of the curve or I can be behind the curve in a way that I rarely am by the end of the fourth island.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, if you added extra islands and added like five or six island runs, that could be wild.
That could be wild.
I'm like moving my feet right now with actual excitement, just imagining it. Yeah, a couple more islands would be amazing. But with the way that each island had mechanical tweaks, like the way that there was a lot of dust in the desert, the way that obviously there are certain types of objectives in the ice world where it's like freezing the robots and freezing certain things. I can imagine something awesome with like aliens and plant life.
Yeah.
That would be really, really cool. Like you could have certain blockages in a particular
vines
way.
Vines and shit.
Vines or something. I don't know why I'm like thinking about plants so much for this, but I just have a very clear vision.
Climate change
head.
Is real.
It's in keeping with the theme.
It is, totally.
That and maybe a couple more pilots. It's just this game does seem to me like it was play tested to hell and back again 15 times.
Yeah.
Like they actually really nailed so many things so perfectly that there are times I still sit there and I'm playing this game and I'm astounded by how tightly designed it is. So this is not an easy ask to say, like,
how
is that even possible?
You know?
Like, how is it possible always to be a fucking solution? Like, that is so mind-boggling to me.
Yeah.
It is wild. The one that's like, if I could snap my fingers and make something happen that is wildly different than what is there now, it would be I really love this game. And it scratches a lot of itches for me. And you know, it's gonna be in the top three of my list no matter what.
But another
thing I like is
consistency.
Is continuity is the 40-hour, not the 40-minute playthrough. I love the 40-minute playthrough. It fits into my life really nicely.
Yeah.
But I really like the 40-hour XCOM playthrough, the 40-hour Battletech playthrough. And the mechanics here are such that I would love to see them try that. That is not something that they've tried before. And maybe they played around with the version of this that includes upgrading a base and having a chart of all of your timelines.
Ooh.
And see, starts to come together, right? and having certain pilots, like there's a thing that happens in Stellaris sometimes when you have a military ship or a science ship behind enemy lines or in an enemy empire that you have a treaty with, and then the treaty goes away and you're not allowed to have people there anymore, and they just disappear for a while, and it's just like, okay, where are they? ? What if at the end of a run it was like, all right, two of those pilots are gone, but you get them back after your next run or two because they're like in the timeline somewhere. Like, let me have the big campaign mode.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That is like, okay, I'm slow. And also let me build up like random pilots and start giving them a special abilities. Let me mix abilities. Yeah. What happens if there's like, could I level up a pilot to such a degree that they get an ability from another pilot?
Or so what you want
like
is romancing.
I want also dating.
Romancing
dating.
The mech.
And then you get the three-star dating.
I want the three-star dating.
And then you have the S-tier baby.
I want the S-tier baby. I'm trying to get that S-tier baby. You know.
S-tier babies.
Like, who do I ship in this group ring? I don't know. That would also be so good.
Yeah.
Camilla and Bethany. God.
Camilla and Bethany, but, like, what happens when Bethany is gone into different... Also, you run into a Bethany. Is that my Bethany?
Oh, yeah. That's
different cool. timeline, Bethany.
Whoa, which fuck. Bethany are you?
Have we met yet? I don't know.
There could be infinite Bethanys.
Infinite Bethanys.
I'm so
that's
down
the
for
expansion.
Some AU shit.
That's the whole thing is AU.
Know.
That's the whole game.
It's
every
whole
run
game.
Is an AU shit. They got a coffee shop in this one, though. It's really nice. They're just, it's just like no bugs at all.
I know.
They run a coffee shop on the base, like in the space station, the time travel space station. It's
and
very
they do
sweet.
The cool push-ups that, like, What's-Her-Face did in Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, 100%. Ellery Blunt. Yeah,
she did really
totally,
good push-ups.
Totally,
in that
yes.
movie.
So, yeah, that would be my, like, complete pie-in-the-sky, ridiculous. A campaign mode where I'm upgrading a base and I'm upgrading my mechs from run to run and something, something, something. But I don't want to lose the core of it, which is the simplicity, which is why this is an impossible
so
ask.
Clean.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I know what it is.
But having that like Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, that's a great comparison actually, because Darkest Dungeon is still fairly simple all the way through to the end in terms of what individual units can do. They can always only do four things, five things, or whatever. But there is that meta layer of building out the estate and upgrading your items and your weapons and stuff like that.
And also, like, their own agency.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Them
that's
just
huge.
Doing their own shit and fucking you over in the process. I love it.
Love it. Please, just fuck me over. Just fuck me up, man. I could Abe, you know what? Just fucking, I want to come back to my base from a mission and be like, yo, where did my good mech go? And like, yeah, Abe took it. Abe said he had something to deal with, and he took it and left. I'm like, excuse? Yes. What do you mean? I'm like, I
and
want
Abe
that to
comes
happen.
Back and is like,
what mech? I didn't have to, I didn't take a mech.
He I've leaves been a down sword the street. In its place. Yeah. He would do that. He'd be like, totally all right, oh this is collateral.
Or
here's my sword in its place.
Or it does, and then separately, Henry Kwan comes back with the mech, but he's repainted it. Like it's some like ridiculous colors.
Yes. He would do
it. Just says Henry's in huge letters.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's mine. I'm gonna charge you.
Do you see the writing on it?
It says Henry Kwan.
HK.
That's me. HK.
HK.
What's good? You can use it, but you have to license it from me. You have to pay extra. Like, I want, this is what I want. You know what it is.
I love this.
Hire me, Subset. all right. I think that is probably going to do it for us because we could just go forever. We really love this game. We really loved this year of games. Thank you so much for hanging out. Next week, I believe it'll be next week, we will have a Waypoints that's looking back at some of our favorite Waypoints from the year and catching up and be like, oh, hey, what's up with those? We check in. Waypoint check-in. And we'll also have an episode recorded for Waypoint Radio that will be looking ahead for 2019, looking at some of the upcoming releases, of which there are too many. Immediately
too many
out
games.
The gate. I got an event invite today for a game I'm really looking forward to in 2019. But that event is like January 7th, and I'm like,
that is what?
That's tomorrow, yeah. Dog. Like I'm not
it's too close.
No, that's so close. I got to get right back to it, huh? Okay. So a lot to talk about there. Thank you for hanging out with us over the last couple of weeks of game releases. Of the end of the year celebration.
And we're releasing our thoughts about
that.
That
is what's happening. Yeah. There's a catharsis happening here in this moment. Thank you, Kato, so much for doing all the heavy lifting on the production work. You've done an incredible job already. It's early in the process of recording right now, but you're already on that shit. Danielle, thank you for everything. Natalie, thank you for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you at
no
home.
No problem.
Thank you to Too Mellow for letting us use a track that he composed just for us. You can find Too Mellow on the internet.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's perfect. at Mellow Makes at Too Mellow Makes. Another way around, at Mellow Makes on Twitter and at tomellowmakes.bandcamp.com. I don't think this track is up there, but a billion other really great tracks are.
So
we almost took something off of the Memories of Tokyoto album that he did, which is his like love letter to Jet Set Radio.
Yeah.
Go give that a listen. Yeah, it's super, so super good. All right. Thank you so much again, everybody. Have a great holiday. Travel safe if you're traveling. And if you aren't, then stay warm, stay cozy. Have fun.
Keep your cats close by. Just don't let them run on the keyboard.
Exactly.
You know?
What else do we say to them, Danielle?
Be good and be good at it.
Peace.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky, smooth tree dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree runner, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.